Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. It's good to be with you today. Luby, how are you? You're just quickly getting into position. How are you doing?
Just in the nick of time. How are you?
I am very
good. Can you hear me? Am I here? Am I on?
You are on.
hello.
So, how has your week been?
A lot has been going on, as we all know. What do you think of everything that's going on in your life? Do you want to talk about anything quickly?
We must.
Okay.
I think we must.
Okay.
And it's yesterday.
Yeah.
A thought, a feeling. What are your thoughts and feelings around yesterday? Shall I start and just share mine?
Okay, let's move it. Let's do it.
I think that in terms of the overall picture, I just wanted to, I guess the right term is to give a shout out to those who are involved in what really is a important conversation.
Yeah.
Is it, sadly, there's a little bit of stuff going on around it as well, but the conversation itself is so important. What are your thoughts?
You know what, I think that future CEOs, we love to educate and we love to empower, and I think that I didn't do much when I was in tertiary, and I feel now I have a bigger sense of responsibility, and I owe it to my brothers and sisters to amplify and educate those people who want to get out of a corporate and do their own things and actually increase the South African economy. So this show actually gives us more depth and more meaning and will add and has added value to our economy and community. So I'm feeling amped and I'm feeling powerful and I'm feeling the wisdom and guidance to empower all those people who just want to make a difference.
Very, very well said.
Yay.
Yes. So if you are an entrepreneur, if you have a small business and you're looking to grow that business, perhaps although you may also be in a career somewhere and you're looking to, you know, really fast track that career, Future CEOs is the show for you. We always say this every week, but we attract the best people, don't we?
We do.
And so in studio again, we have we're going to be really pulling apart something called lifestyle businesses. What do you think when you think that? I think yachts and beaches. Is that accurate?
I leave it at that.
Okay. But in studio, and we're going to let him introduce himself as we always do, we have an expert. Is there anything we're missing before we go over to him? Are we... 0861-555-189 if you want to be part of the conversation.
And on Twitter, we are @_future_CEOs.
Or future_CEOs.
Thank you.
Or you can use the hashtag #FutureCEOs. Alternatively, go onto WhatsApp. You can also, there's a nice feed that comes through here, so if you want to communicate that way. And then the last thing, go and get the Cliff Central app. It just makes your listening experience that much easier. Okay, that's enough from us. Carl? Welcome to Future CEOs.
Yay.
Welcome to Cliff Central. Who are you and why are we listening to you today?
Thank you very much. It's great being here. It's great being part of this energy. And I must tell everybody, you can't see, Thloopy's wearing the most fabulous shoes. So apart from the energy between you two, she's looking amazing.
And we're matching in more ways than one, Carl.
Absolutely.
Aren't we?
Let's not talk about my underwear yet. I'm
yes.
Carl, and
yes.
I think calling me an expert is generous, Gareth, but thank you very much. And I'm one of the people involved in a small consulting firm called CN & Co.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a marketing HR firm that specializes largely in financial services. There are a group of us, 9, and we're a lifestyle business, and that's what we're here to talk about this afternoon, is lifestyle business.
Break that down, lifestyle business, what does that mean?
So sometimes it means yachts, and we can get to that, Gareth, but
okay,
basically, in fact, there's a yacht involved in our business this weekend, so funny enough, but it's a business that's been created around the lifestyle of the people involved with it, so their personal needs, their schedules, and their personalities. So it at the heart of it, it just says that people are different and work in different ways. And so businesses need to not be 9-to-5, not be corner offers, not be structured as it has for, you know, hundreds of years.
I guess the first question is, how in the world do you expect me to run my business, not 9-to-5, not within a structure, not maybe ticking some of the boxes like keeping track of my employees' time, not being able to communicate directly with them if they're not in an office. I mean, there's so many questions that come to mind. Let's start somewhere, and let's start with, how in the world can you even say that this is possible?
And those are all great questions. So for me, companies always say that people are their most important asset.
Always.
Yeah.
So if people are your most important asset, why would you want to patronize them, and why would you want to treat them all the same? And so our belief, and a lifestyle business employer's belief, says that if you expect more of people, they generally perform. If you give more, they generally give you back more. Some people like to work in the morning. Some people like to work at night. Some people like to wear suits. Others like to wear trainers. And so if you really allow people to be individuals and be themselves, you'll get more within a business. And so we've coined a term which is hold on lightly, not tightly.
I love that.
And so that just means, you know, you encourage, you influence, you support, you guide, you challenge, but you let people thrive.
And also respect, Carl.
It's a great one. So respect, and if, you know, my experience is if as an employer or a partner in a business, you respect those around you, they will respect you back, and they respect each other. And so businesses often want to put structures in place to control employees.
Correct.
I think that if you allow people to be respected and you respect them, they'll self-moderate. And so why have rules for everybody when there's going to be one or two people that break those rules? They'll be weeded out the system naturally.
Mm. I'm sure, like in other parts of the globe, like in Europe and Sweden, I think you gave an example, these kind of organizations thrive and flourish and you know, are being copied. And here in Mzansi, how are we doing with that? Are you the first of many? Are you the trendsetter?
No, not at all. And so I think that there are lots of people, and perhaps we don't call it a lifestyle business, but I think South Africans are great at this, because South Africans are make it happen, make it do people.
Absolutely.
Because we have to be. So I think we've had it less easy than some of the Europeans and the North Americans. And so we're lifestyle employers. I think many professions are suited to that. So teachers, so, you know, people who become teachers, it's a certain lifestyle that attracts you to that. People who work in radio, it's a certain lifestyle. And there's a fallacy that it's easy and it's that it's a holiday. So in my company, I work 18, 19, 20 hour days. But I take months off at a time as well.
I was about to say, listen, if you're preaching that a lifestyle entrepreneur or business owner needs to work 20 hours a day, I'm out.
No, and so and other people involved in our business work 3-4 hours a day and take short little breaks.
I'm in.
Yeah, so it's the big thing is be clear on the outputs. So be very clear with yourself and the people who work with you what the end goal is, what needs to be achieved, and then let them get on with it in their own way.
Mm.
And if your work's not finished, then you never take leave. If your work's finished, then off you go and do other things.
Richard Branson, I love it, because I see myself as the same. He says that he works hard, and Gareth knows about me about this. I work hard, but I need to sustain and maintain my energy levels. And I believe in genius naps. 20 minutes knock me out and I'm back and I'm bad. So that kind of element of working works for me. So I really, really appreciate that lifestyle business.
And you become more productive as well.
Absolutely.
Other people don't want to work that way. Other people want to gym in the middle of the day. Other people want to, you know, spend 3 hours in the gym, but you'll get more from them, from people, if you truly believe that we're all individuals and the different things that make us tick.
Are you saying that we should, all of us, use Uber? So then we can do our naps while Uber's driving us around. I mean,
because
that's what Branson does, right?
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, you said earlier in terms of how can you communicate with people if they're not in office. So technology allows us to do that. So people in my business are encouraged to travel, not only to recharge and get energy, but to get new ideas, to meet new people, to be challenged, to challenge themselves. So whether it's a physical experience, some of us are going to Bhutan at the end of the year, whether it's, you know, going snowboarding, whatever it is, whether it's just going a place half an hour from where we normally live. Because I think in Joburg, but other South Africans as well, we're not very good at just going half an hour from our little circle of where we're comfortable. Travel within your own space, broaden your horizons. So what I do in Uber, I often take Uber because I catch up on my emails. So 20 minutes and I catch up on my emails, and I do a hell of a lot going from one spot to the next.
I guess what's so important about that as well, I mean, just away from lifestyle business, if you're using an Uber kind of service, is then you can focus on what you need to focus when you're interacting with people instead of you wasting that time on an, you know, responding to emails or doing whatever those things are. What I don't think we've done yet is really define what a lifestyle business is. So people are hearing some of these things, but let's pull it back a little bit. I'm a sucker for structure and those and that kind of stuff. I need definitions. Define it, please.
So I'll give you my definition, but it's not the only definition. But simplistically, it's saying that we all have different schedules and we all have different lives. So a lifestyle business allows you to manage your outputs around your own schedule and your own priorities. It says that life isn't work on the one hand and personal on the other hand. It says it's all the same. So working in an office, reading a magazine, fetching the kids, doing your shopping, having sex, all of that stuff is one thing. It's part of life. It doesn't have to be compartmentalized.
Okay.
And we all handle those differently. We handle them at different speeds. We handle them in, you know, in not in the same way. And so lifestyle says you as an individual structure how you want to achieve your outputs that our business needs.
I think that also, Carl, that your employees really have to be mature to be able to fit into that, you know, and be responsible because, you know, as much as a freedom it is, you know, it is about the output. What do you have to say about your employees if I want to start a lifestyle business? The team has to be just as motivated and want to give an output, but with all those, you know, flexibilities and all those options and loving those options at work.
I agree with you 100%. And so for me, it's not based around age or gender. People need to be mature, but I've, you know, got employees that are in their teens that are mature.
Yeah.
We've got students in South Africa that are proving that they are very mature in terms of their demands and what they want.
Correct.
And so for me, it's again, don't be patronizing to people. Be clear on those outputs and be clear about the value of your company. So what are you about? What do you want to achieve? And it's challenging. So I'm the managing partner in our little business. And so it's challenging when you say, get on with it. Because people will do things differently to how you would if you'd given the direction. The saving grace is they often produce a far better result than if you'd interfered with them. And so we all grow through the experience. We all have fun. You know, you have fun. So be clear about the values in the business that you're running as well and what you're all about.
What I am concerned about here is we've had a number of shows. I think I think of Alan Knott Craig speaking about this, and a number of other people where we talk about work-life balance. Is there not a risk if you are a lifestyle business or a lifestyle boss that you are always somewhere but never there?
I know what you mean, and it's you know something that I particularly think about myself. Because I'm saying that there isn't a work-life balance, as in 50-50, it's all the same thing. But it does mean that you need to be disciplined. Gets back to Trubia's point, you need to be disciplined in your own life. So for me, what's important is I need to gym and exercise so that I've got the capacity to do what I need to do for the rest of the day. I need to pull myself back when I'm not making time to read. And my biggest failure is when I'm so busy in my day-to-day stuff that I don't get challenged by different opportunities and different things. And quite frankly, that's why I love interactions like this, to come and engage and to be challenged and to have a debate and get a different viewpoint. I have very little time, and I think as a successful lifestyle employee, you can't have a lot of time for people that are very dogmatic and who believe that there's only one way of thinking. So when, using the example that's topical again, when the students in South Africa, you know, start the demonstrations, I don't think it's very useful to say it's terrible or it's good. You've got to engage in the conversation, and you know, introduce the show as well on this, and learn and debate. So yes, it makes no sense to me, but... And start engaging. And so for me as a lifestyle employer, you've got to be open to new opportunities. Another thing that we've coined is 1 plus 1 must equal 22. So take things that traditional employers might think don't work together, like putting an 18-year-old with a 56-year-old, but magic happens because they have complementary skills. They support and you get a much better result.
Innovation at its best.
And it's trusting people. You know, I really just think it's just understanding that people generally want to do well. There's an entrepreneur in South America, Ricardo Semler, wrote The 7-Day Weekend. And people challenged him because he's a big international conglomerate and he has a he doesn't have an internal audit department and his HR team are two people. And he said, I know, I'm very sorry, it's very large for an HR team. But he said, why would I have an internal audit function and make rules for the majority of the people if there's only one or two? And so I believe there's a trust people, they'll rise to the challenge and they'll do well. And, you know, I think a failure of traditional companies is you think I've now worked myself up the ladder, I'm now more important, hierarchical title, I'm better then. Absolute nonsense.
And it's also that companies are living entities. And I believe that, you know, they shape, they grow, they change, they fail, they don't, they try again, you know. So I love
the journey of an entrepreneur, because it's about failing and rising and failing and rising, and it's about testing those untested waters, and I think you're doing a great job at that.
Well, thank you. And failure is a wonderful thing. We are so scared of failure. One of my good friends and somebody that I work with a lot, of the Purple Group, Charles Savage, is a CEO of a listed company.
We know that guy.
You do, because
we love that guy.
We love that guy.
Please don't say it. He's already got such a big head, but he can have one, because one of the things that
Absolutely.
He's done through failure
is he
fails 100 times, but he comes up with the one thing, like his easy equities.
Yes.
That's a breakthrough. And so he sees failure not as, oh my God, I've got to be embarrassed because I've done something wrong. So it's difficult working for people like that, because they get frustrated when their employees don't take chances. They get frustrated when their partners don't take risks.
Okay.
They get upset when people don't fail.
Charles said another thing, which is exactly what you mimic and what you really try to instill, is just seeing the world through different lenses, and that is travel, that is having kids, that is the students, you know what I mean? So all these things that are happening in our day and lives gives us different perspective, and that makes you shit out at your job, I think. Excuse my language.
That's great language, because it's also exciting. I'm sorry. But it's exciting because, you know, when people get despondent about South Africa or the world, I'm just like, oh my God, where have you been? There is so much opportunity. And that doesn't mean I'm a naive person. There are tremendous challenges. But the people who lived, I really believe this, who lived 1,000 years ago and 2,000 years ago, had their own set of insurmountable challenges. But they surmounted them and on they went. And people in 1,000 years' time will still have challenges. So see them as opportunities. Work with the people around you. Challenge yourself. And for me, you know, getting back to the lifestyle business, it's saying that context change. You can't have a company that's so rigid and so structured.
Yes.
Why are we still working, the majority of people, 9 to 5?
Yes.
That was set up in the industrial ages in the UK. For God's sake, we're in South Africa here and now.
Dynamic
South
Africa.
Who still wants to work that way?
Okay, so we can't only focus on flowers and sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what the weaknesses are here. So we have someone, we have 10 people, we've got 100 people. They want to transform their business, perhaps, or they want to start a lifestyle business. But what are the risks? What are the downsides, and how do we counter those?
So good question again. I think you've touched on one, which is it becomes all-consuming. So you have to be able to put the frameworks in place. So lifestyle doesn't mean that there aren't frameworks. You need to be clear on what those frameworks are. They'll differ from person to person, but you've got to be clear on the frameworks. Another challenge, I think, is that you've got to be very comfortable with failure, the point that we just spoke about now, that you've got to be nimble and agile and adapt, because you'll make mistakes, you'll make the wrong calls. It's pointless calling a board meeting. It's pointless having a strategy session around it. You've got to move with your gut and be willing to do that quickly.
Can I just jump in here very quickly? I was at an event, a presentation, a series of talks this morning, and the one lady, she's from the States. I think Stanford is where she grew up in that area. And Silicon Valley, she says, they don't even use the word failure. In fact, they don't use the word success. What she described is, she said that they are constantly in beta mode. You know, it's beta testing mode. Always trying, always seeing what works and what doesn't. And that's the way that they look at it. So it's not a case of failure or success. It's a case of what is working now for this particular point or at this particular juncture.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Potentially another pitfall could be that you're loose around what the outputs are for your business entity. And as a result, people are spinning their wheels because they don't really know where they're going. So I think you've got to constantly revisit and have clarity around it. Linked to that is also be clear about your values. So I'm very clear in my business what the values are, and they don't suit all kinds of people.
Okay.
But the 9 people that are in my business are completely aligned. And so we're different in terms of background and age and all kinds of differentiations. Very different. But we're on the same page in terms of values. So we take what we do hell of a seriously, but we don't take ourselves seriously. So we laugh at ourselves and we laugh at each other. We want to
sounds like future CEOs.
A little, yeah.
We want to be successful in traditional ways in terms of really making contribution, money and all of that.
Yes.
But that's not the end goal. It really is doing stuff that's sustainable, that we can be proud of. And so we've got each other's backs. We support each other. And that's important. You've got to be clear about those values. And you've got to be happy that certain people not feel comfortable with those values. And that's okay.
What do you mean by that, Carl?
That they will not every. I think if you try and have everybody like you, or you try and have a culture that's the that spreads too thin across to accommodate everybody, you water it down too much. So I think you've got to understand that not everybody is going to be comfortable with your values. Not everyone's going to be comfortable with your system. So some people think that I'm mad because of, you know, the way that I might dress more casually.
Yeah,
that's cool with me. I don't take it personally.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're wrong.
Yeah.
It's just different.
How do you identify whether someone has that or not? So I'm thinking to myself, if I'm standing on the outside of a lifestyle business, I'm attracted to certain elements of it. So maybe the freedom. The perceived freedom, I guess, is a better way to put it.
Mm.
I'm attracted to maybe one or two aspects of the particular business, but maybe there's a values misalignment. Maybe I'm not as attractive or attractive. I'm attractive.
You're very attractive.
You're hot, baby. You're hot.
Yeah. I'm not as attracted to this business as I think I am, and I only learn it later. How do we? This is an expensive exercise if we employ and release and employ and release. What do we do?
So I'll give you what many people think a poor answer, but I believe this. And I ran an HR department for a business insurer.
Okay.
So you couldn't get more conservative than that. And I proved it over 5 years running this HR department. Go with your gut. Simple as that. It is not an expensive exercise to test and release. What is expensive is to spend tons of time outsourcing your recruitment to complicated psychometric testing. To people who are not in your business, go with your gut.
Okay.
And when you've made a mistake, say so, because we all make mistakes. Apologize, fix it, and move on. And for me, why this is a great question is I find it really amusing in companies when people say, you know, it's difficult to have these hard conversations and we don't talk to the people. If we're a values-based organization, why would you not tell somebody if they're not performing that they're not performing?
Mm.
It doesn't make them a bad person. It might mean they're in the wrong company. It might mean we haven't given the right resources. But I find it really offensive if people don't give feedback. So I give very direct feedback to my team around me because I expect them to give me direct feedback. Because my response is going to be, thanks, I'm sorry, fix it, move on. Or no, you're talking rubbish and this is why. And we move on. But unless you give that feedback. So for me, the short answer is go with your gut.
Clearly,
always.
What I hear coming out here, and you tell me what your thoughts are and what you think about what I'm going to say, is it sounds like this is a very much more authentic kind of business. And what I mean by that is you have to have authentic conversations all of the time. There is no real room to be fake, to be to maybe push flaws or maybe even isolate people on flaws. Maybe that's a better way to say it. There is no space for these bureaucratic kind of things that come up. So ego, it's all very flat, very horizontal, I guess, the communication would be. Is that accurate? Is it an accurate description?
Yeah, it's absolutely an accurate description. And for me, why that's important, Gareth, and be interesting also, as you say, with Luby's take on this, but for me, it's self-moderating as well in that environment. So,
that's so true.
In companies,
that's
when
so
the
true.
CEO or a traditional old-school companies behaves appallingly, people would defer often based on the hierarchy. But everybody knows about it, and everybody talks about it. And so I find it amusing that people who want to have a specific parking spot or a specific office that makes them important, people don't buy into that. And it's not a generational thing. There are old people in inverted commas who think, my God, you know, I don't want to work for an idiot like that. I'm spending a lot of time there. So it is far flatter. It is far more authentic. And it's tough, though, as well, because it's certainly not easy to hear from people what I said earlier. You know, you're not, but it's the right thing. And you move on quickly.
Education. Tell us about that. Where did you grow up? Where did you school? What made this come into light? Was it academic? Was it not academic? Tell us about that.
I'm not definitely not academic. So
EQ or IQ, baby?
No, EQ all the way. I had an interesting conversation with the chairman of a multinational insurer company this morning because I've helped them find somebody to be CEO. Brilliant. They love them, but they don't have a master's degree. So I said to him, well, as somebody who has a master's degree, and I largely have a master's degree, cum laude, I added to him, because my mother couldn't finish school because she was too poor. And so she had a chip on her shoulder her whole life, and yet she was one of the most intelligent people that I knew. So I'm chairman of a school, and I'm very proud of that, and I fundamentally believe in education. It's the one thing that will fix the world, or make the world a better place.
Yes.
Is education, because life's on employers again. We need to employ kids now, educate kids for jobs that they don't even know that exist
I
yet.
Know.
And so it's what do you teach them? It's not, you know, one plus one. It's skills and attitude that we need to teach them. So I grew up in Joburg. I'm a proud South African. I've got a tattoo of Africa. I've got a tattoo of Joburg skyline.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And I'm, yeah, love it here.
We didn't share your thoughts. Just wrap this up. Share your thoughts. Wrap
He's
up
making
up.
You do the difficult job. Him I mean, and I have just spoken rubbish.
No, I'm just looking at him like, really, really? Okay, my take on this is that I'm not a 9-to-5. Firstly, I'm a freelancer, so I completely understand it because it's all about fitting work into my life. Mm. And I'm a very busy girl. I love my gym. I love the things that actually make me a more productive employee. Mm. So for me, this is exactly the kind of place I would love to work or actually start up for myself. I would love to manage the kind of people who fit into that mindset and attitude and character. And it's also the added value because it means that we don't value you for what you put into work. We value you as your entity as a person, and actually that is going to bring you more output in your business. So that's me,
and that's why we asked you to wrap it up, because that was so good.
It was. And Gareth, yes. I just want to say big thanks to both of you for the show and what you do, because we've got to encourage people to become entrepreneurs, to get out there, seize the opportunities, to stop seeing the negatives, the great opportunities. And so, yeah, thanks for the people that you have here, and if everybody can just tell one more person, pay it forward, we'll rock even more. So thank you.
Carl, thank you. And then also thank you for being here in studio with us. This really has been an uplifting and empowering conversation.
Too
so
cool, Carl. Too cool.
All right. Up next, we are going into our Startup of the Week feature. It's back because F&B is over. So we're going to be doing Startup of the Week. We've got an interesting business coming in. There's some hard questions we're going to ask this young entrepreneur. But we'll do that after the break. See you then.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.